welcome once again to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. And, excuse me, I'm all choked up over today's subject. The Wall That Heals is coming up, going to be in Marion later this week. We'll give you more details on when and where and so on. And today we're going to be talking about The Wall That Heals. Our guests today are Chuck Voorhees?
Van Voorhees.
Oh, I missed the van there. He has the Traveling Vietnam Wall experience, which we'll hear more about. Sarah Statler is with the Marion Area Convention Visitors Bureau and with the Women's Club, Club Homes Hometown Heroes as well. Ken Belk, who has been here before on my show, is an escort and overall information guy.
He's an escort.
And an old friend of mine, not chronologically, but Brandy Wilson from Heritage Hall with the Marion County Historical Society is here. And why don't all of you say good afternoon?
Good afternoon.
There you go. That's a good start to our show. So we're going to start out with Brandy and the Marion County Historical Society's part in the Wall That Heals event that's coming up. And Brandy, take it away.
Well, I'm pretty excited to be a part of the Wall That Heals. For us, we had started our year celebrating our 50th anniversary, and we knew that meant we wanted to turn the museum into the historic 1969 era, which included Vietnam as our military exhibit. And fortunately, Chuck Van Voorhees was willing to come in and do our exhibit this year. So he set everything up, and he used part of his collection, and he's done a good job of showcasing different things about the Vietnam War, even a Jane Fonda book, which has sparked quite a conversation.
I'm sure it has.
With folks, which, I mean, you can't have history without the... No. Controversies and things. So, I mean, it's been exciting for us to have people through and to see, you know, the young kids to see a soldier dressed from the Vietnam era. And Tanya had approached me from the Marion Community Credit Union.
Yes.
And asked if we would be kind of the historic record keeper for the event. And what that is going to entail is I will go out in the evenings and photograph the wall and try to kind of show as the over the couple of days that
the progression
here, just kind of the progression mm-hmm. of the mementos and objects and things that are left behind. And then on Sunday when the event is over, the Historical Society will actually pack up all the items that have been left and we'll take those to the museum, and we'll have kind of an archive of the entire event, photographs, and then the mementos, and hopefully I've learned too that we'll try to get stories from folks as they're there without being intrusive, but people are willing to share why they left certain things or mm-hmm. what it meant to them and get those stories. So I'm looking forward to hearing those stories and learning a little more about, I guess, kind of how folks heal when they're there mm-hmm. and what it means to them. So that's going to be an important piece for the museum to have.
Okay, and we are here to focus on The Wall That Heals, but
yes.
You had mentioned that this year you are featuring 1969.
Yes.
Just briefly, would you like to tell a little bit about that and the hours that Heritage Hall is open?
Heritage Hall is actually open Wednesday through Sunday from 1 to 4. We also will open, if you'd like to have a group tour, we'll open outside of those hours. You just have to give us a call. But this year, the showcase is on 1969, and we've highlighted, like I said, the Vietnam War. We've taken a look at the activities going on in the community of Marion. Also highlighted the space race, which was getting man to the moon, and the NASA crawler was a big part of that. So highlighted the Marion Power Shovel and have had different stories and folks in sharing their time building the crawler. So it's been a good experience this year. I've enjoyed that it coincided with The Wall That Heals, and that came, I was like, wow, it's like
just
like,
fit together,
like
didn't it?
Said she goes, we were blessed, the heavens opened, and
yeah,
and we just have, you know, it's a good community effort.
Okay. So, Brandy, I appreciate you sticking around. I know you were here last hour with Linda.
Yes.
And I believe you're wanting to leave soon. You're welcome to stay. I'm not trying to push you out.
I'll stick around for a few minutes.
Oh, that's great. Okay, well, we're going to move on around the table to Sarah. And Sarah has quite a bit to share as well.
I do, and they might have to give me a sign this time I talk to. So I am with the Marion Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, but I'm also being a member of the Women's Club Home here in Marion. I was kind of, I guess, approached to interact as both a member and as a piece of the community, I guess, and then just as a human. So I've been cheering up the Hometown Heroes project, which is, again, held at the Women's Club Home. It is 26 Vietnam veterans who lost their lives during that era. They are all from Marion, meaning they registered in Marion with, I guess, when they enlisted, correct?
Yes.
We are featuring 26 of them who unfortunately did not get to return home. We have pictures of them, like from back, I mean, their actual Army or service picture. Sorry, I'm not speaking properly. We have their picture, and then we have, each of them has a Marion Star article that goes with them from the newspaper from that time when they were actually killed, as well as a rubbing from the Vietnam Wall. Almost all of them have one. I think maybe one or two do not. But so my boss, Mark Holbrook, and I have been working together to put all that together to make an amazing, very emotional display. I can't even emphasize how emotional it's been. And Chuck over here has been amazing with supplying us all that. He brought me a binder and gave us what we need to make it happen. So this is definitely a team aspect. The last hour I gave just a little bit of information, like what to expect from one of these articles, but I'll just give a couple more lines from this Marion Star article. And this was about a 19-year-old killed on Vietnam duty. So just to refresh, he was the first one to be killed during the Vietnam War. He was in Vietnam for about a month, and that was it when being killed, which is extremely sad, I would say, for sure. But it says the 19-year-old soldier entered the Army on May 24th, 1966. Before that, he was employed by the Marion Division of Whirlpool Corporation. So I like to think of it like Whirlpool's still here. He's mm-hmm. just one of us.
Sure.
And he went and then didn't get to come back. So that makes it so real. Whirlpool is in like our backyard here.
But think of how many people that affected. That affected his family.
Absolutely.
That affected his coworkers. That affected, he'd recently graduated from high school.
Yeah.
All the people he went to school with.
I mean,
it affected a lot of people right here in this area.
A 19-year-old, I mean, just trying to get on a good path and do something. I mean, a lot of these, as everyone knows, were drafted and didn't even have a choice.
Right.
So it's very, very real. It for sure is. But and then it goes on just to get an idea of what the articles say and how much they will pull on your heartstrings. It says the Schultz family was informed of their son's death Monday afternoon by an Army sergeant who came to the home. The family later received a telegram from Washington. And then it goes on to talk about the survivors and their funeral arrangements. But these are all, that was one little tiny piece of all 26 that are going to be there. And as I said before, there's one that was missing in action. So we have him represented. Unfortunately, not as much information, but we do have whatever we can to honor him as well. So the Women's Club Home is hosting this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And people can come in. Everything is free. Just come in. Take some time. We will have some drinks. We'll have some tissues. Whatever people need. I mean, all joking aside, it's a time to grieve or celebrate what people have done or whatever each person needs to do, whether it's getting
commemorate
closure.
Is a good
exactly.
good word.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Closure, whatever needs to happen, that's what they're there for. So 10 to 4, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Okay. And we're going to move around the table there to Chuck Van Voorhees.
Van
Voorhees.
Right.
Van
Voorhees. Right.
I keep wanting to say he's. It's his. So, Chuck, go right ahead. Mic's in front of you.
Okay, for the last 35 years, my wife Annette and I have been collecting war memorabilia from the Vietnam War. I was in Vietnam during the war with the Marine Corps, and we've been educating students for years. I think the number now is 35 years I've been putting on a school in Marion, and there's probably 40-some thousand freshmen and sophomore have been through that school. Okay, so I have a museum, and what we do is the way we look at it, you know, you set the museum up, and that gets the kids' attention, and they'll listen to what you got to say. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've traveled the museum around several places, and we've set up in conjunction with a wall about four times now. And our museum is a very in-depth museum. Everybody thinks of a war museum, you know, they're going to expect to go there and see bombs and things that have something to do with basically killing people, okay?
Right.
Now, we have our share of that, okay, because that was part of the history. But we also have a giant collection of things that I'll give you. When I heard Sarah talking, Michael Spicer was killed. He's from Marion. He was killed in Vietnam. His mother is—they call him a Gold Star mother when they lose their loved one. His mother worked with me teaching students, and we used to have Mrs. Spicer come up and talk about Michael. Now, this has been years ago because she passed away quite a few years ago. And Mrs. Warner, the same way. She would come up and talk to the students and tell them about Michael and explain what kind of person he was and everything. He died very, very young. Mm-hmm. Okay, but this museum, we set it up in conjunction with the wall. The wall, you go out there, it's a sober place, okay, the people had passed away, mm-hmm. that are on that wall, okay. Then you can come into my museum and learn about what was going on over there. A lot of people don't have a clue of what was going on in Vietnam.
Right.
They know their loved ones was killed over there, but they have absolutely no idea about the things. And you come in this museum and you're going to see things that will give you an idea. Things that your loved one had seen, or your uncle, your cousin, your grandpa, or whatever had seen. I have a collection of Bob Hope, and believe it or not, a lot of young people don't know who Bob Hope is. But I have a USO collection of Bob Hope things. Mm-hmm. And you know, the adults, you know, they know who Bob Hope is, so they can relate to that. But the young kids. When we're teaching at school every year, I ask them every year, right at the beginning, how many people, kids, freshmen and sophomores, how many have heard of Bob Hope? And every year, less and less raised.
Yes.
I think this last year, I think three people raised their hands.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on to Ken. And Ken's been here before, and I have about a half an hour to fill up here, Ken. So.
We can all talk. We're just trying to get
you. You will have people coming in this door saying that.
But, yeah, I know that won't be a problem filling it up. I'm going to go down to Lee's and get me something to drink while you're...
No, I'm just kidding.
But
I don't know one button to hit when I'm done.
I kid around a little bit, but I know this is a very solemn thing, and I respect... I do have respect for you folks and what you're doing, and appreciate it. So,
yeah, we got to make lemonade when we can because you'll get messed up.
Yes.
I'm just going to kind of skip around a few things. The educational trailer will be open. Once the panels are removed, it flips open to an educational center for adults and children and young adults. To learn about the wall. It'll be set up, easy access to it. There'll be, on Friday, is for groups, grade school at 9 o'clock. We can handle grade school, 100 people that age, middle school, 100 at 10, and then at 11 o'clock, the seniors.
Okay.
High school seniors and groups of 100. And, that will, part of the people that will be working with the tour are here from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
We have, we're going to use the word, our handler that that is going to be on site checking out like what we've set up here and make sure and stay through that everything runs smooth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like pedaling a bicycle. That and what is interesting is the lady we're working with in D.C. since last fall, Cynthia, is coming, having both of them here. We're doing something that's got us on their radar.
Oh my.
To come in and take a look. So I'm looking mm-hmm. at that as a big a gold star for us.
Certainly.
That if you are lucky to have a motorcycle, like to ride in the parkade, you need to be at the Route 30 Harley Davidson store in Upper Sandusky on Tarhee Center.
Trail.
Just right off of 23. You can't miss it. Right there around 1:30 for staging and lineup. First come, first serve on the lineup. There will be instructions on how to ride.
Okay.
And messages from the Route 30 personnel. And the Patriotic Guard will give a safety brief. And I believe there's paper instructions that will be handed out. And then at 3:30, Keck stands up and the noise starts.
I'm sure.
We're looking at, I've heard talk today when it was up in Upper, they're looking at maybe 400 to 500 bikers.
Oh my, that's a lot.
And that is right. The Keck stands up at 3:30, should be on site at the River Valley High School around 5:15. Should be coming with that time, back the clock up, maybe 4:15, 4:30, be coming through the center of town. But the escort's coming into Bussars, down Route 4, into Marion. And then once I get there, between 5:15 and 6:15 p.m., this is tomorrow. This is tomorrow. It is here.
Tuesday the 17th.
The 17th.
17th?
Public
yes.
Affairs Medium Pictures will be. And okay. And that'll be at that time frame. Things will quiet down.
Tomorrow's the 16th. I'm sorry. Yes. I stand corrected.
And, yes, 16th. I'll concur that you have the 16th. Okay. And the assembly of the wall will start about 8:30 Wednesday morning. And hopefully by 4:30 in the afternoon, the wall will be up. And for the ambassadors, the helpers, around 6 o'clock, there will be a training session. The training session will be part of us, but it will be led by a gentleman named Vic from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
For the training taking place. And if you're unable to make, but you come out for your scheduled time and you'll get instructions. But it would be nice to see everybody there for the training that's going to be taking place. And we talked about a little bit about the library, July 18th at the library in the evening around 7 o'clock, I believe. There'll be staff from the wall to answer questions at the library for the community. The wall is open 24/7, starting the 18th. And each night around dusk, between 8:30 and 9 o'clock, taps will be played and a bagpiper will play.
And what time is that again?
This round, between 8 and 9, we'll have taps and the bagpiper will play. What's interesting, we're going to have 3 bagpipers, mm-hmm. one each day, and then the last day of closing, hopefully we'll have all 3 of them there that still will play. But the bagpipers came to us. We hear the walls coming. What can we do? People are reaching out to us when we were reaching out to the public. The hand was already there to grab a hold to help out.
It's wonderful.
We have the setup and tear down. We have the volunteers. It's just amazing how many volunteers we have. It just, I think Tanya mentioned it's several hundred people mm-hmm. that's coming out. So everybody, you know, we had shifts through the night that was worried about some people doing 4 or 5 hour night shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody just 2 hour shifts possibly throughout the whole night for the 24/7.
You have that many people. That's
yes.
amazing.
The now if you are have a problem is when I get a walk in the parking lot, clear up into, well, there's a golf cart being provided by a downtown business restaurant. Wow. And again, golf cart, it's a four-seater, it's seatbelt equipped. So we take three passengers. There's a handicap rail to help you assist to get on the back. And we'll bring you up to the area, take you back to the parking lot. It'll be radio equipped. The say we need the cart here or there.
All right.
And I got to thank one of the Byrie's Restaurant is the sponsor for the golf cart.
Okay.
And you will probably see Miss Marcella driving the cart. Her assignment is when she shows up, she drives.
Okay.
Anybody who's assigned the cart, step aside.
And I will add to that as well that we have had so many volunteers offer. We're not going to turn people away. So that's just more people who are able to help push wheelchairs or walk with people that need some guidance. I mean, we are literally all hands on deck, and it's because of the 400 and some volunteers that have stepped up. So if the golf cart is busy and they're trying to get up there, I can almost guarantee someone will be there, if not myself, walking them up. So
right, that's part of the ambassadors. Yeah. They are there to help. Just like you have ambassadors at college, that they're to help the new person coming in to get adjusted, to move around. Look at that as the name of the ambassador. So college students can relate to the ambassador program.
And everything's going to be pretty well handicap access. I mean,
it's a handicap.
Everybody will be able to
step over a little curb in the grassy area. You are on a grassy football field.
Okay.
But that goes with it. And if somebody needs, there will be someone to walk with you. And one of the things that we found out about the wall, if someone would have a picture and they would lay it up against the wall, we just ask people not to be offended, because you may see one of the ambassadors take the picture and lay it on the ground. Nothing is to touch the wall.
Okay.
And it'll be respectfully laying just replaced in front where it was. It won't be just tossed off the side.
Sure.
And it's most likely, if it's the picture, it may be put inside a Ziploc bag to keep the from being ruined from the moisture.
Sure.
Yes.
And then it has happened that people will bring an American flag. It may be the burial flag, and they'll have it there. And some people will say, well, the flag is touching the ground. This is not throwing the flag on the ground. It is placed. But if it's leaning against the wall, we will lay it on the ground. And then most likely the bag will be put in a plastic receptacle and then laid back on the ground.
Okay.
That there's a barrier, and everybody happy. And these are little things that come out that we learned in the last few phone conversations we had with the people back in Washington, D.C. They're giving the information now. It'll mean something that you understand what's going on.
Sure.
The sun is in the sky. Clouds are in the sky. And it may be nice to bring an umbrella.
Okay.
For the sun. There, you're on a football field, and how many trees do you see growing around a football field?
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
That you need to make it bring a umbrella for shade. And there'll be no food at the site. There'll be probably access to some water, but there'll be no vendors. There'll be no political statements, no hawking of items, shirts, hats. If you need a shirt or a hat, the Marion Community Credit Union is the place to get your hat and your shirt.
All attention will be on these folks that have given their lives so that we can sit here and do this.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And there are benches placed throughout the wall. And we're instructed as how far back from the wall the benches are to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there. And just song. So if something's noisy or something, you need to just be quiet. Just kind of like you're in church or you're at the calling hours, that you want to show respect for the family.
Certainly.
Show the respect for the families that's here. Saturday afternoon, that's the big day.
Okay.
just that this is where we're having the remembrance ceremony for the 26 hometown heroes. At 4:30 will be the pinning ceremony. It'll be pinning ceremony for all Vietnam era veterans. And Vietnam era veterans is anybody who is in the service on active duty in the armed forces from 1 November 1955 mm-hmm. from 1 November 55 to 15 May 75, regardless of location, or eligible to receive one lapel pin. Now, to receive the lapel pin, there are I just went over the eligibility. Mm-hmm. And there's a presentation. You know, like if you're joining a lodge, they don't say, okay, we got these are new members, Bill, Tom, and Dad. Say hi to them, moving right along. No, you will become forward. And maybe four or six at a time will be, and you'll be among four or five personnel on the dais for the presentation for the pinning ceremony. One person will hold the pin in the back, hand it to the pinner, and while holding the pin in front of it, a person will be reading, describing the symbols that's on the pin, the eagle, the flag, the mm-hmm. stars, the wreath, and what's on the backside. It'll be read to those few people that's right there on the platform, and then they will be pinned. Now, they'll exit the platform, and the next group will come up. As they exit, there'll be a soldier and a sailor. Welcome home, soldier. Welcome home, sailor. And that will continue on. Some people said, well, how are these people going to be notified about the pinning ceremony? Word of mouth. They said, aren't you calling people and telling you? How would I call people in California that may be here in Marion on vacation?
Sure.
If you're out of state, in state, anywhere, and you're welcome, entitled to the pinning ceremony. Mm-hmm. Then there's the pinning ceremony for the deceased Vietnam veteran's surviving spouse or family member lapel pin. And that will be the presentation after the Vietnam era veterans are pinned. And these people will come forward, and the pin that they receive, they will not be pinned. It will be in the box. The pin will be for them to cherish. But it will be the symbolism of what's on that pin will be read to them, just as reading to a group of people. What's interesting, this pin is tracked. I have one of the pins here that I was using to get this document blown up, so people coming in can see and read what is being whispered to the read quietly to the ones being presented for the Vietnam era veteran and the surviving spouse family member.
Now, you said tracked. I'm not sure what you mean by tracked.
Well, we have to, these pins are accountable for.
Okay.
And we did a ceremony out at Primrose mm-hmm. for a friend of mine, for his brother. And the pin is accountable. We have to have their name, who it's going, to. So it gets filled out on the document.
It's very documented where it goes.
It's kind of, right.
Yes.
It's not a tracking device.
No, it's not a tracking device.
Yes, okay.
It sounds a little tricky like
right.
that.
But this document is a proclamation is on the back, which will be read by President Obama and reinstilled to continue on by President Trump. And that just as we observe the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War, reflect with solemn reverence upon the valiant generation served with this honor, and it goes on. Everybody that's being pinned or receiving a pen for a spouse will receive this document.
Okay.
And that's also by one of the personnel that's going to be on site. Again, it's the 18th through the 21st. We have a sunrise field service. Sunrise will catch the non-military. Field service will catch the field service personnel. That'll be at 8:30 in the Sunday morning.
Okay.
It'll be non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
And how am I doing here?
Oh, you're okay.
Yeah, you got about 14 minutes.
About 14 minutes.
You're doing wonderfully.
Okay. Well, now on my second
page.
Can
I throw in a couple of things?
Yes, you may.
All right. No, I'm just messing with you. You guys can't see us here, so it's different. He was talking about building the wall and all that, and I just want to throw in, Tanya has done a great job of recruiting volunteers. I've also started a volunteer portal through Facebook. It's called Volunteer Portal, which has been amazing with recruiting lots of people to help. Wednesday morning, though, like they said, the wall comes in tomorrow night, but Wednesday morning at 8:30 is when we start the build.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could be rain or shine, so we really, really would love to have as many dedicated people as possible out there, regardless of the weather, because this is something that happens no matter what. I mean,
right.
Rain, shine, lightning, I mean, God forbid, but it's happening. Therefore, all of these volunteers who are committed are more than critical. Because I don't want it to just be me and my husband out there.
Right.
No, but to put it in, like, I guess a way that really makes you realize how significant each of these pieces is. Each piece is 80 pounds. So it's a two-part, it takes two people to put on every single piece, and there's what 140
yeah.
some 140 ish pieces to this wall.
Wow.
Which is, I have a video posted on actually the Marion Community Credit Union Facebook page and website, I believe, and on my personal pages, the volunteer portal, which I said has a video which really kind of walks you through beginning to end, from the wall coming in on the truck all the way to the final build. It's lit up with LED lights and spotlights, and there's going to be landscaping. Who was it?
Is
it McCoy?
McCoy Landscaping.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this will be at the two anchor points for the wall. Will be an elliptical shape, not super elliptical, just a morphed circle with some silhouettes. One on each end.
Oh, okay.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that in because the sponsorships and donations from the community, I mean, like everyone has been saying, we're all kind of saying the same thing. It takes a village to do this. And between, I mean, McCoy, Peacock Water,
the golf cart folks.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. People who have donated food for the volunteers and drinks for the volunteers and the volunteers themselves. Yeah. I mean, it's weekdays. People are volunteering their work time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are.
Right.
And their sleep time
come
out.
Right. The credit union is closing their doors at 4 o'clock tomorrow. So everybody can be out in front of the credit union or at their choice of routing to watch, or out at the Veterans Park to see this wall coming in.
As I before my program started, I went out. I was in the mall area,
mm-hmm.
and coming back by, so they were lining the corners
the flags
with U.S.
going out this
flags,
afternoon
so.
At 2 o'clock. They started doing a. Doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And the ground is hard with all the water that we had.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Work off that one.
All right.
Okay. We would like to thank all the veterans and the motorcycle memorial escort riders.
Just let you know, 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
I'm holding up 10 fingers, folks.
Okay, let them 10 seconds shut up.
No, keep
I've
going.
Had
keep
all
going.
All instructions. Okay.
You have so much information
oh,
to dispense.
You know, there's the wall is 375 foot long. And we just could not put the wall up in any position. And the people in Washington did an aerial shot of the River Valley football field,
mm-hmm.
and located our three anchor pins for putting up the wall. And we had the pinning ceremony, private one, for we can't make it to the wall last Tuesday. The representatives from the wall forum came down from up at the Firelands, Belleville, that area of Ohio. And we spent over an hour and a half at the River Valley football field looking at the site.
Oh, wow. So they are very specific on to the inch, it sounds like.
That's right. That is saying this is, your reputation is on the line. And this is a 3/4 scale wall.
Mm-hmm.
And by the same people who made the wall in Washington, D.C. It is their...
Literally am getting chills. Like, I've watched that video I mentioned over and over, and with my husband, because I'm like, it's been in the works for months. And I remember one of those first board meetings at the credit union. Yeah. There's like a group of 5 or 6 of us, and now it's the volunteers are in the hundreds. I mean, not the committee itself, but
isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
It's you need to thank all those folks out there for volunteering.
And like, I cannot say thank you enough. I mean, if I could physically, like, go up and do something for all of them, I would, because it takes every single person thinking about someone besides themselves. And as I mentioned in the last hour, my husband's dad served in the Vietnam era. He's passed on since then, not in the war, but he's passed. And there are so many other people that have served. I mean, just the gentleman sitting right here beside us have served, and it has mm-hmm. just been... life-changing. I mean, looking at Brandy, and Brandy's like, yes, like, life-changing, and it's such an honor.
Too much great stuff.
I know, Brandy's still here.
I'm like, yeah.
Like, Chuck and his wife came into my office a few months back just to kind of go over stuff and get a game plan, and, you know, when he showed me the binder of the news articles, the pictures, the uniform, like he said, like, stuff actually from Vietnam, not just like stuff that we made here or found in a clothing store for fun. We're not dressing up dolls, life-size dolls. He has like he and his wife have put in years into this, and it's all to make people knowledgeable and to bring just, what's the word, like a humility and like a great
appreciation
presence. Yes,
maybe
appreciation. Sorry, mm-hmm. I'm lost for words.
Okay.
I mean,
yes.
Like, all I can do, I literally have chills. I mean,
it's going to be an emotional weekend, I think.
It is.
You know, I think it's going to be good for the community.
And there's so much other stuff going on, too, if you don't mind. Like, we have so many things. The Harding Symposium is going on at Ohio mm-hmm. State, which is amazing. And then we have the Women's Club Home. We have Heritage Hall contributing, the library contributing. We have Chuck's Museum inside River Valley's gym. And then I just saw today that new prep school is having something else to honor hometown heroes on Saturday, I want to say. There is so much happening, and it is just amazing. Like, I feel like just driving up and down the streets. Like you said, seeing all those flags out there, it's like, whew, it makes it so real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my brother's an Army vet, and I never really got to experience that with him, nor did I want to at the time. He kept everything a secret. Because, I mean, like, joking aside, like, it was very real for him.
Sure.
He did not tell us what he was involved in until he got home for good. And now I'm still, like, I still get nervous thinking about it.
Did that really happen?
Is that
going through your mind?
He showed us videos on his laptop of, you know, things happening and things that, I mean, him shaking. I mean, the whole place shaking because of what was happening around him. And I'm just in awe. And what Vietnam, I mean, everything that I've watched and researched since this has just been like, holy cow. Like, people were in this life. People did this for us. I can walk around and talk and breathe and go to church and do everything I want because of them. It's such an honor. And Chuck and Ken, you guys are here right now, but thank you to you guys and everyone else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Chuck, is there anything else about your museum that maybe you want to throw in?
Yeah, because I was on the radio twice, I hated to repeat myself.
It's okay.
But the hours, like when you go visit the wall, okay, and then when you leave the wall, and then you could come into River Valley High School, I'll be in the cafeteria with my display, and It has really good air conditioning. I found that out today.
Okay.
You need a break from the sun.
Really,
there.
Really good air conditioning. Yeah. But anyway, I'll like I say, if you mention you heard me on the radio, I will give you a tour. It takes about, believe it or not, it takes about 40 minutes to give you a tour. So.
Now, can I ask you, when something like this is not going on, is your museum set up that folks can come see it?
I've set up 4 times in conjunction with the wall, and okay. I've set up probably 8 or 9 times just on my own.
Okay.
We set up down to Wright State University. That's the biggest place ever set up. But we set up at a big military show there. But as a general rule... you know, I just turned 71, and I'm, you know, it's a lot of work. I mean, it's going to take us 3 days to set it up this time. So,
it's now, fantastic. If you've not seen it, it's just an experience in itself. Mm-hmm. It's such a good, I guess, if you're a visual person, you can really see what they experienced, their living conditions as a soldier, to what they were up against with the jungles, and
right.
He just has captured everything.
And there are a lot of folks that are still living with the effects
absolutely.
Of what they saw and what they experienced over there. Mm-hmm. It's just sad.
It is. It's a
what
very
these
emotional.
Folks are. Yeah.
I walked into Chuck's exhibit, and you know, you kind of have to like stop and get your bearings because you start seeing things, and you think that was my dad or my uncle,
right.
or you know. Son going over and fighting in these conditions, and to actually see it in person, it kind of really is eye-opening.
And we learned in this process, trying to reach out to pin so many veterans, that there were some veterans at certain locations that did not even want to admit that they had served in the Vietnam War.
Sure.
Whether, I mean, we can all know the reasons behind that, but that to me is heartbreaking. They did so much, but
right.
when they came back and during that time, they were so criticized. Uh-huh. And it is just, like, we want to honor them, but they almost don't want to be acknowledged. And we want to change that. We want to change that for all of these vets. And so grateful for the community.
I think it was without the Vietnam vets and putting forward that it is important to be recognized, our soldiers today, I don't think, would have that kind of, I guess, community support and that support that you see. I think that was a lot to do with the Vietnam vets saying that's not going to happen again.
And these were just young men and women.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just like the young men and women that are coming out of high school today.
Yes.
That, well, because the draft, they didn't, in most cases, didn't have a choice.
Right.
And we need to honor them. And I think this is just fantastic.
The average age was 22.9.
22.9.
The youngest was 15.
Wow.
Most of us are enjoying those days, and these guys were out fighting.
Mm-hmm. It, most certainly. Yes. And they deserve this honor, and I encourage all the people that can to be out there and experience this. We have about a minute left. Let's give the date and times and some of that those particulars one more time.
Well, I will say the Women's Club Home, where the 26 hometown heroes are featured, is this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 4, and it's free. Everything this weekend is free. Ken?
And the wall open to everybody will be Thursday, July 18th through Sunday, July 21st, until under 3 p.m. on Sunday. And
it's open 24/7.
It's open 24/7, and it'll be lighted. And you need to see it lit.
Okay,
you need
folks.
To see it lit tonight.
The Wall That Heals, a big privilege for our community to be able to have that. And we need to honor these folks and come out this weekend for The Wall That Heals. Thanks for listening to The Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. Be listening again next Monday afternoon.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 106.